Well, tonight we're going to think about Abel, one of the heroes of the faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Before I read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 11, I just want to go back to the Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 4, where we read about Cain and Abel, because obviously we need to know something about Abel before we can begin our study this evening. So in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, I'll read from verse 1 through to verse 16, and then I'll read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 11. So Genesis 4 verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And then just turning to Hebrews chapter 11, the first six verses. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, in a recent survey, people were asked the question, which modern invention, which modern gadget would you find it most difficult to live without? And all kinds of different answers were given. Some said the microwave. They couldn't imagine life in the kitchen today without a microwave. Others said the laptop. They couldn't imagine life without the internet, life without emails. But what came out on top was the mobile phone. Many, many, many people said they just couldn't live today without a mobile phone. Well, when we turn to the Bible clearly teaches that where the well-being of our souls is concerned, our spiritual and eternal well-being, there are some things that are absolutely essential. There are some things that we can't possibly manage without. And one of those things is faith. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's why throughout this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging us as believers to live and to walk by faith. And he does that by presenting to us many examples of men and women who in Old Testament times lived by faith. In other words, these Old Testament characters, they are presented to us as role models. They show us what faith is like. They show us how faith operates. They demonstrate faith in action, so that we too, following their good example, we too might be men and women of faith. Well, the first example presented to us here in Hebrews chapter 11 is that of Abel. And it's Abel we're going to consider briefly this evening. And we read there in Hebrews 11 verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Now, we learn from those verses we read in Genesis chapter 4 that Abel and his brother Cain, they were the sons of Adam and Eve. And they were conceived and born after their parents had sinned and disobeyed God and had been driven out of the Garden of Eden. And so because they were the children of Adam and Eve, they were born with a sinful nature. They inherited the sin of their father Adam. And of course, what was true of them, it's true of each one of us. It's true of every single person born into this world. we've all inherited the sin of our forefather Adam. We're all born into this world with a sinful nature. That's why we sin. That's why the world is in such a dreadful state this evening. It's because every single person born into this world is born with a sinful nature. Paul says in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, what we actually know about Cain and Abel is rather limited. But we do learn from Genesis 4 that Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer, an arable farmer. Two very worthwhile and respectable professions. Genesis 4 verse 2, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Well, one day these two young men, I assume they were young men, they came to worship the Lord. And they brought with them offerings to present to the Lord. Offerings that corresponded with what they did for a living. Abel the shepherd brought a lamb, an animal sacrifice, the best and firstborn of the flock, and Cain, well, he brought the fruit of the ground. He brought harvest produce, probably fruit, vegetables. Genesis 4 verse 3, we read, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And so these two men, Cain and Abel, they brought their offerings to the Lord. And what happened? Well, we're told, the Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favour. Well, we might ask the question, why? Why was that? Why did God accept one offering and yet reject the other? On the surface, it almost seems that God was being unfair, accepting one offering but not the other. Why ever did God do that? Was it perhaps because Abel was a good guy and Cain a bad guy? Well, no, that wasn't the reason. We've already seen that in God's sight, they were both sinners. No, the reason was this. It was because Abel approached God by faith. We're told that here in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Abel was a man of faith. Now, we might ask the question, what is faith? People seem to have all kinds of different ideas as to what faith is. Well, to put it very simply, faith is taking God at his word. It's believing what God says and then acting upon it. That's what faith is. It's always based on the solid foundation of God's word. That's the kind of faith that was demonstrated by all these heroes of faith that are mentioned in this chapter. Men like Enoch, Noah, Abraham. Each one of them heard God's word, they believed God's word, and then they obeyed God's word. And that's what faith is. Faith is always a response to what God has said, a response to what God has promised, a response to what God has revealed. And true faith is never passive. It always results in obedience. It always results in action. James tells us, doesn't he, in his epistle, that faith without works is dead. Faith is never passive. It always results in action. It always results in obedience. Incidentally, just notice in passing, that the writer to the Hebrews, he clearly accepts that these Old Testament characters were real people. You see, some people today, they're very quick to dismiss the Old Testament. They're very quick to question the reliability or the historicity of a book like the book of Genesis, especially the opening chapters. Oh, they just dismiss it. They say you can't believe that. Well, it's interesting to notice that the writer to the Hebrews, he confirms that men like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, they were all real people. And he tells us that they believed what God had said. They believed what God had promised. And even though at the time there was no visible evidence that the promises would ever be fulfilled, nonetheless, they simply believed what God had said, and they acted upon it. Well, that was certainly true of Abel. We read by faith, that is faith in what God had said, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. Well, clearly, God must have spoken to Cain and Abel. We're not told how. We're not told when, but clearly they knew what God required. They knew that as they came to worship God, that the only way to approach God was by means of sacrifice. Perhaps they'd heard that from their parents, Adam and Eve. After all, we read in Genesis 3, verse 21, how God provided garments of skin to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. In other words, an animal had to be slain to provide the covering they needed. Well, Cain and Abel knew that in order to approach God, if God was going to accept them, if God was going to forgive them, then the blood of an animal must be shed. An animal sacrifice must be offered. They both knew that. And so what did Abel do? Well, in obedience to the word of the Lord, he brought an animal sacrifice. Indeed, it almost seems that in some way, Abel understood the principle clearly stated in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. No forgiveness of sins. In other words, Abel knew that his sin, symbolically, must be transferred to a substitute. He knew that another must die in his place. And so, acknowledging his sin, in true repentance, he came. And in simple faith, he offered the very sacrifice that God required. And what happened? We read, by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. God commended Abel. He was justified in the sight of God. He was brought into a right relationship with God. Not because there was something personally attractive about him, no. He was just as much a sinner as Cain. But God commended him because of his faith, because of his obedience, because of the sacrifice he brought. He believed what God said. He obeyed God. And his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Well, can I suggest that the sacrifice Abel offered that day, like all the Old Testament sacrifices that were to follow, what Abel offered, it was really a symbolic sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that prefigured and pointed forward to the perfect sacrifice that was to come, the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. We read in Hebrews 9, verse 26, Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin, by the sacrifice of himself. You see, the Lord Jesus came into this world to offer a sacrifice. Not an animal sacrifice. The sacrifice he came to offer was the sacrifice of himself. The perfect sacrifice. The final sacrifice. The sacrifice never to be repeated. That's why Jesus came. He came to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. And the Bible teaches that when a man or a woman turns to Christ in repentance and in simple faith, believing that when Christ died on the cross, he died for them, then immediately all their sins are forgiven, and the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus himself is imputed to them. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Abel was counted righteous in God's sight. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. But then more briefly, let's just consider Cain. And we're told in Genesis chapter 4, and it's confirmed here in Hebrews chapter 11, that the offering Cain brought it was rejected. Now, why was that? Why was Cain's offering rejected? Well, it was rejected for this reason. He just ignored what God had said. He refused to bring the offering that God required. Instead, he just chose to do his own thing. He thought he could approach God in his own way, on his own terms. And so instead of bringing the animal that God required, he just brought the fruit of the ground. One writer says this. He says, Cain's offering was a monument to pride and self-righteousness. He brought with him not something that foreshadowed the sacrifice of Christ, but something that represented his own toil and labor. You see, with Cain, there was no acknowledgement of sin. There was no acknowledgement that a blood sacrifice was necessary to atone for sin. He thought he could approach God in his own way. He thought he could earn God's favor, God's approval, by what he did, by his own efforts, by his own good work. He thought he could find acceptance with God. But God said no. The offering was rejected. It wasn't the offering that God required. We read, the Lord did not look with favor on Cain and his offering. It was an act of disobedience. And because he was disobeying the Lord, his offering was rejected. Now, it's interesting to notice that even though Cain's offering was rejected, as far as God was concerned, that wasn't the end of the matter. Because we see in Genesis 4, verse 7, that God very graciously pleaded with Cain. He said, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? God said, Cain, do what is right. Bring the right offering. Bring an animal sacrifice. Come to me in repentance. Believe what I've said. And if you do that, you'll be accepted just like your brother was accepted. But Cain just turned a deaf ear. He turned a deaf ear to what God was saying. And he was quite determined to go his own self-righteous way instead of God's way. You know, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs which says this. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. And sadly, that was the way Cain chose to go. He chose the way of death. And you know, sadly, this evening, there are multitudes of people in our own country and right across the world, and they're making exactly the same choice that Cain made. There are multitudes who seem to think they can live as they like and do as they please, and God will accept them. There are multitudes who seem to think that there are many different ways to God, many different ways to be saved, many different ways to heaven. But the Bible says no. There's only one way. That's through faith in the Lord Jesus, the one who died for sinners on the cross. Indeed, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. I remember some years ago now, at our local cricket club, we had an Indian, and he came across to Wigan every year to play for our cricket team. He was an outstanding cricketer and also a very devout Muslim. And very often when we were playing away, he would travel with me in my car, and he became quite a good friend, and he just loved to talk to me about religion. And I remember one Saturday afternoon, we were travelling over, I think it was to Formby, and we travelled past this large graveyard. And Tariq said to me, he said, well, Jim, that's where we're all heading for. And I said, Tariq, you're right. And then what? Well, he said, what I believe is this. I believe that every moment of the day, there's an angel looking over my shoulder, recording all my good deeds and all my bad deeds. And if on the day of judgment, my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, I'll be received into paradise. That's what he believed. He believed it very sincerely. But sadly, that's the way of Cain. Because the Bible tells us that our very best, our very, very, very best, it's not good enough for God. In God's sight, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And if we are going to be counted righteous in God's sight, if God is going to receive us on that great last day, then we need a righteousness that is not our own. We need the perfect righteousness. We need the pure righteousness of the Lord Jesus himself. And then as I close, let's just notice one other thing. We're told here in Hebrews 11 that though Abel is dead, he still speaks. He's dead, but he still speaks. Well, we read this evening, didn't we, how Abel was murdered by his brother Cain. In a fit of rage, in a fit of anger, Cain took Abel out into the fields and murdered him. And no doubt on that dreadful day, Cain thought he'd silenced his brother's voice forever. But the writer to the Hebrews tells us that Abel still speaks. Well, how can that be? How does Abel still speak today? Well, we've seen this evening, haven't we, that Abel's story has been recorded in the Bible. And every time we read the story of Abel, we are reminded of this timeless truth that the way of salvation never changes. In every age, in every generation, the way of salvation is always the same. It's always by grace through faith. That's the way Abel came. Salvation is always by grace through faith. It's never of works. That's the way of Cain. It's never of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I wonder this evening, what about you? What about me? Where does our confidence lie? Can we say this evening from the heart that we're trusting in Christ and in Christ alone for salvation? Not in what we are, not in anything we've done, not in our good works. We're trusted in Christ and in Christ alone, and we're resting in Him and on His perfect, finished work upon the cross. May that be true of each one of us, for His name's sake. Amen.